Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. Wow, it's been a while. It seems like about 4 weeks. Since that time, I've taken a week vacation. I went back home. And then I've been so busy at work, it's just been so hard. I haven't had extra time to do these. And I've been short on the podcast. Usually, I do on average about 6 a month. Hours wise, it's a lot if you add up how long my podcasts are. But probably about six podcasts a month. And I think last month it was like four. And this month it's probably going to be four or five. So yeah, it's been a little bit hard to get around to the podcasts because of things that are going on. I've had family visits, a lot of different things going on. And on the weekends, we've been going to movies again, at least on Saturdays. We saw some really good films. We saw Shang-Chi. We saw, what was the last one we saw? Well, we saw a bunch of them on HBO Max. I can't remember what the last. Oh, it was Venom Carnage. So we saw Venom Carnage, which was really good. I liked it better than the first one. I don't know why, but I did. Maybe because Woody Harrelson had a presence, and I love Woody Harrelson. So that could have been it. That could have been the deal. A lot of people were saying, well, stay for the after credits. And it's like, well, it's like everything else, you know? It's a cool after credit scene, but it's like, yeah, I was there to see Venom throw down with Carnage, not to see how it ties in with everything. But I thought it was pretty impressive. I thought it had a good box office showing. It broke records for the pandemic, and I think it broke records just for regular October. So that's good. I know it was playing at a hell of a lot of theaters. But what's new? This week, Penguin Random House did its first shipment to stores, and I was a little harsh on them, but I had reason to be. I went over on Wednesday to my LCS. I don't get a lot of Marvel from him, maybe four titles. The rest will go through DCBS. If I'm sniffling a lot, it's like my allergies just kicked into high gear. And it's usually because I get home from work and then I play with Harley. And she likes to rub in weeds and grass. And I get a little allergies because I give her a lot of loving when I come home and I play with her. So I have like a reaction to all the crap she picks up. And Barb just texted me, but it was nothing like do this, so it wasn't a honey-do thing. So I'm going to keep on pressing. But anyway, I went to the LCS. I was curious about how the packaging was going to be because I had heard horror stories about the trades that they ship out to comic stores. Like, a lot of damages reported. And I know they were developing boxes. I was listening to the John Mayo comic report, which they started coming out again because Diamond started releasing numbers. Their numbers have become over time less and less meaningful because DC left, so they have no numbers for that. And then they had Marvel for the last couple of months, but then Marvel left. And then I don't know if their numbers are just going to reflect the stores that kept accounts open with them, which I would assume. Which will be depleted because I know a lot of stores, at least the local stores in Colorado Springs and the Pueblo, moved over to. They were excited because of free shipping, but be wary of free. You get what you pay for. I don't think that the staff did a bad job of packing the books. I think the engineering behind shipping them was where what was at fault with Penguin Random House. They developed their the diamond boxes were they're about double thick on the sides, and where they get their damages is they put a thin divider in between. They're designed for two rows of comics, and they have damages when they're not full, and they have damages because the divider slips out and comics will slip from the left to the right. Well, I think they tried to say, well, I'm not going to deal with that problem. We'll come up with these single unit boxes, and they came up with these boxes like C5, C7, and each one holds more. And I think the bigger the box, the more prone to damage there was. Because when I went to the local comic store, the C7s were banged up pretty bad, whereas the C5, that wasn't, isn't bad of a shape. But what it did is it annihilated 50% or more of his stock, including all of the ratio variants, which he does a lot of ratio variant business because he's got a lot of customers that want the 1 in 50, the 1 in 25, and all that. And he does the math and charges accordingly, and then he often gets stuck with a lot of the other books. But he ends up being profitable because of what he charges for the ratio variant. But anyway, I saw the damages, and like I always see the diamond damages, and to be truthful, I always looking through the diamond damages to see what he got, and I'm like, this is okay with me. This is okay with me, because I don't give a shit about a 9.8. Usually, if I get a 9.0 or higher, I'm okay. So like when he sees some of the damages from diamond, I'm like, oh, that's acceptable. But when I looked at the books from Penguin Random House, they were gone. They were like shitty shape. They were horrible. And if I won't purchase a book, I can't imagine what those anal retentive guys that want the 9.8 would do. So, yeah, he claimed all the damages. So what he had to do was he called and they said, well, please submit this form on, this information in an email. And he did. And it asked for, he had to do barcodes and all kinds of things and the item and then the quantity and, what was damaged about them. And then he also had to provide pictures if necessary. And he sent that list out. I don't know what the result of that was, 'cause I was gonna go to the comic shop today and I was like, man, I'd sure like to do a Mike Gems Weekly Reads, and if I went to the shop and talked to him for about an hour, I probably wouldn't have got this podcast out. Sorry. I decided I wanted to get the podcast done and then read, because I have a lot of homework for Geek Brunch this weekend, because we're adding two new segments. We're adding a one comic random retro review where me and Bill just will pick one thing from our pile that we ordered recently that we want to discuss for better or for worse. Like, did it live up to expectations? Why we bought it? That kind of thing. And then we'll have another segment called Fanzine Frenzy. And that's where we can randomly pick an article out of any fanzine we want, and me and Bill will talk about them. So you should hear that. I'm really looking forward of those to the Fanzine Frenzy, and I love fanzines, and it gives me a good excuse to pop those open and read them. And read some articles instead of being overwhelmed with all the comics I'm getting and never get a chance to read some of the fanzines. So I'm looking forward to that. But anyway, these damages are pretty extensive. Yeah, he sent it away. I don't know the results. But he said he panicked, like when he first saw him. He's like, "Oh my God, I've never had this much damages. What am I gonna do?" And I've warned him. I told him months in advance. The general consensus concern is, is Pangram Random House gonna be ready to package these and ship them in comic format? They don't care. They kind of ship things in Amazon. They came in these thin ass single boxes. And then they had these weird like cardboard feelers. They have like cardboard, and then they have like a gap between feelers, and they put a couple of those in there. And it had a packing slip, which was nice because it shows that they're quality checked, and it had a pictures of the employees that packed your bag. I like that because that's what DCBS does. And then it had information of, "We hope you're happy with your package. Welcome to Marvel Comics, Penguin Random House letter. And if you have damages, here's what you got to do." So he panicked a little bit, and then he started getting calls from other shops saying, "Could I get books from you?" "Well, I can't sell the books that they gave me, and I have customers. What am I going to do?" Well, a Pueblo comic shop called Ed and said, I'll drive up there to pick up books. I have 100% damages. 100%. He can't sell one of them." And he said, "I'll drive up, to Colorado Springs, and I will buy some books from you just so I could keep some of my pull box customers happy, at least until Pangram Random House can sort everything out." And he goes, "I have no books to sell you because I have 50 to 60% damages." And then he found out that a lot of other stores had damages. Do I think this is on those packers that packed it, that put their pictures in the box? No. I think they were trained. I think that they were briefed on how important it was to pack these things. I think it's the materials that they gave them to pack it. And these single box designs, which they supposedly tested in advance, but they're a function of who delivers the package. Some packages weren't damaged, and maybe because their UPS guys are not throwing their boxes around and dropping them, maybe they actually lifted them and loaded them instead of throwing it across, a 10 feet. "Here, catch this. Ooh, I fucking dropped it and dented it." And then these small dents will cause those corner dings the way they're packed. There's no way of avoiding it. And the more space there is in the box, it's even worse. And yeah, so that was bad. And then I got, before I went to the store, I think it was Tuesday or Monday, I got an email from DCBS saying, "Penguin Random House lost our entire Marvel shipment. So we don't know when we can ship the books to you." And I'm, oh man, that's great. So I was already in a cranky mood because I like to get my books. And I started posting pics. I was angry. Angry Mike. And then I calmed down and I'm like, okay, this is their first time, blah, blah, blah. We'll see what they can do the next shipment, try to fix it. And supposedly they're listening. I watched a lot of YouTube videos that night, and I stayed up late watching them. And there was a couple guys that are doing this, and they're like, "Okay, here's my damages," and they show pictures, and I'm like, "God damn, that's nothing." These, yes, you don't have a 9.8, but you have a 9.4. Who gives a fuck? But they put them out there, and I was like, "Wow, that's nothing compared to what my shop saw." And I can't imagine what the guy in Pueblo had with 100% of his damages, because he's a smaller shop. He might have only got like two boxes instead of five. 5C7s. And most of those at my shop were Amazing Spider-Man, because the new Amazing Spider-Man came out with a bunch of covers. There was Defenders damage. There was a lot of other damages. Captain Marvel was annihilated in that box. They were like almost like bent in half. They were in horrible shape. But that's one of the stories of the. I'm really curious to listen to this weekend's podcast from Challengers to see how they fared with the first shipment of Pengram Random House. They hired a new employee at Challengers. I'll be that we had a podcast with her. She sounds like a really interesting employee because she has a history with the store. Plus, she's been working comic retail for a long time, so it's really good to hear her voice in that podcast. But yeah, I like retailer podcast. I IM'd my friend Eric Cowabunga. He said he had a few damages, but not much. He was okay. I have since looked at DCBS, and it looks like they at least are preparing the package. I haven't seen if it's shipped yet. I'm gonna go check live to see what state it's in. But they hold all the other books hostage, and in no fault of their own, because they can't ship two boxes. They can't, well, say, well, here's all your DC and other books, and now here comes another box, because then they'd have to pay for shipping twice, not on your dollar. So it makes no sense for them. So they had to wait for the Marvel books, if you had Marvel books. And if I go to shipments, it still says preparing to ship. So all my books from this week, which usually ship out on Tuesday, still haven't shipped out, and it's already Friday. And the next shipment starts to process on the weekend. So I could get like potentially back-to-back shipments, but if they have another delay, then I'll be offset by a week. Makes inventorying a bitch too, because if I get about 100 books from DCBS every week, and I get two back to back, that's 200 books I have to process. That's 200 books I have to scan in and bag and board before I could start reading them, and then the kitchen table gets to be a fucking nightmare, and I gotta start working on that because I already have one shipment to process. Because it came in late. But yeah, that's what's going on. And then also at Ed's, he started getting drawer boxes, which was cool. So it opens up my possibility of inventory a lot easier. But that's sort of the story about the bags and boards, and there's still a bag and board shipping, but I just received 2,000. I had to buy some polypropylene and boards because it was getting really bad waiting for the Mylar and halfbacks. So I bought 200, so I was able just to keep up some of the bags and boards, and then the Mylars came in because I thought I was going to have to drop some more money on the polypropylene bags. But I got the 2,000. Of the 2,000, I've already used 200. So yeah, I'm gonna have to the rate I'm going, I'm gonna have to already order some more because of the delay and lack of product at various. I think this one took about 10 weeks. And when they told me it would be 10 to 14 weeks, so if I keep at this rate in 10 weeks, I'll be through my supplies again. But anyway, I'm gonna get to some questions. So maybe I don't have any questions. Oh yeah, I have one from Nick. Nick says, my favorite game show, this is Nick Wetmore from the Nerdy Legion. I'm gonna have to turn this phone off, but let's see who it is. Washington, D.C. call. I'm not picking that up. Don't know anybody in Washington, D.C. Only one in that area I know is Tom King, and he wouldn't call me. All right. So, hopefully Harley won't go out again. He says, my favorite game show is Match Game. The double entendre, I don't know how to pronounce that word. I know what it means. Entendres and the celebs are so witty. Which six comic characters would be good panelists? I'm not a fan of Match Game. I know what he's talking about. I think that's where they say a word and the other person has to guess what it is. Let me see if that's what it is. I'm gonna Google it just to make sure I'm picturing the right game show. Match Game. They have a new one, but it ran from 1973 to 1982. To match answers by giving a celebrity panelist to fill in blank questions. I wonder if they give an example. It's a panelist and a celebrity, and they basically have to say, duh, I guess give a sentence and they have to fill it in. Who would I think is like a witty character that I would like to see in Match Game? I lost the question. What six comic book characters would I like to see? Well, Howard the Duck would be a pretty damn good one that I'd love to see. I know Nick doesn't care for Howard the Duck, but I don't think he's been exposed to Steve Gerber's Howard the Duck, or he'd change his mind. But Howard the Duck is a definite one. Let's see, who else would be good at that? I think Jack Ryder or the Creeper would be very interesting. I guess half the t show I'd like him to be Jack Ryder, and the other half you could put him as the Creeper. He would be a good one. Harley Quinn. I think she's so witty that she would be a very fun celebrity guest star. Deadpool for sure. Very much in the vein of Harley Quinn, but he'd be a lot of fun. So that's what, four? Trying to think of witty characters. I'm drawing a blank. I'd say Booster Gold and Blue Beetle, but they would have to be together because separated, they're not as witty. I'd like to have a serious one in there. I like Swamp Thing because I think he'd be very dry, and that could be very humorous. And then he's got that deep ass voice. And then, I think Spider-Man would be a good one. Not the older Spider-Man, but the Spider-Man when he was younger that would make the witty remarks to all the villains. He's gone through some dark times where he's not as witty, but I'm talking about the witty Spider-Man. I think he'd be a good one. So I hope that answers your question. I'll probably think of a lot more as time goes on. But Howard the Duck for sure, and Harlequin and Deadpool—they'd be great. And then I'd like to try Brother Power the Geek would be interesting, because he's a hippie rag doll. Oh, he'd be a really good one. King Shark, but not the King Shark in the comics. The King Shark from Suicide Squad. Just for him to come up with the sentence would be Sylvester Stallone trying to come up with the sentence. That would be hilarious. What else is the question? Kirk says, favorite Western comics. He says comics. I don't have any Marvel. I never was in the Marvel Western. Jonah Hex is definitely Weird Western Tales. Was another one. Scalp Hunter appearing in there. Batlash are some of my favorite. They're all DC in the West that I've ever latched on to. I have read a lot of really good Kickstarters. I haven't read a lot of like Billy the Kid or Charlton books. In terms of Westerns, it's all been mostly DC. So, and not a lot of like Tiger Twins and El Diablo. Well, he was in Weird Western Tales. All-Star Western Comics, at least the ones that I've read, but it's mostly been Weird Western Tales, Jonah Hex, and I've read Scalp Hunter and the Batlash series. I don't have any of the original Batlash series, but I have the second one. Cinnamon, also another DC property that's come out. And that's all my answer is, because I haven't read a lot of the other Rawhide Kid or any of the other books. If I have, it's just been like one issue. Haven't read a lot. We know, this is from Nick Wetmore. He says, we know Superman would be the best guest star in the Andy Griffin show. But who would the best guest star on Mork and Mindy be? And he said, and it can't be Pip the Troll, it's too easy. Mork and Mindy. Mork and Mindy spun out from the same properties as Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley. And yeah, I watched it pretty regularly. Nanu Nanu, Shazbutt, Robin Williams in his suspenders. Who could play off in that world? That's not a serial killer. That's a tough one to put on the spot. But since he's an alien, I think Star-Lord could go. Oh, Drax. Drax would be fun in that. But not Drax the Destroyer from the comics. He'd have to be Drax the Destroyer from the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, because they changed him. Like, Drax the Destroyer wasn't like witty, and he was always violent. But Batista adds a lot to that role that I really like. I think he'd be great in the space drama with Mork and Mindy, comedy drama. On the DC side, Gnort, the Green Lantern dog, would be fantastic. You could even throw Guy Gardner in there. And the Nemesis could be the Weird, But those are my answers. I think you'd have to have some kind of space-based characters. Howard the Duck would be a good one. He comes from the Nexus, so that could work. So where's this political duck coming from? Nick also says, in an alternate universe, Henry Winkler doesn't get hired to be Fonzie on Happy Days. Who's the coolest hero or villain that could slide right in to be the new Fonz? Hey. Who would be a great Fonzie? These are tough ass questions. Because I can't even think of any comics that play out in the 50s. There should be something like that. Like, because you got the Warriors and you have the Wanderers and the Lords of Flatbush, which Henry Winkler was in. Who would be a cool Fonz in comic books that's just cool? Man, I can't think of anyone. This is bad. I just thought of another great character, though, for the match game, Ambush Bug. He'd be fantastic. I'm going to walk over to my DC statues and see. Oh, Hitman. I think Hitman could be a good Fonz. He'd at least have the look. Hitman. Who else would be good? I'm looking at a lot of the figures and I don't see anybody that would be a good Fonz besides Hitman. Constantine, nah. He might have the look, but he's definitely Grifter? That's a possibility. Grifter's a possibility. So I'd say Grifter, Hawk from Hawk and Dove, and Hitman. Another one that I think that would be really good is Jonah Hex. He'd have that messed up face, but I think he'd be a cool Fonz. He always gets some pretty women for him, I think. And I just by looking at these Eagle Moss figures that I have on display here, it could open up a lot of answers to Nick's questions. But the Mork and Mindy, I just thought of another one that I think would be fantastic. While he's not really alien space-based, I think it would do a cool sitcom thing with Deadman because he can move into other people's bodies. I think that would be really sweet. So yeah, I'll go with Deadman. And that's all the questions I have. Now I'll get into the weekly reads, which I'm gonna try to knock out 4 weeks just to catch up a little bit because I was about a month away. So I'll just get back to where I left off. So we'll talk about July 19th through July 25th. And we'll start at the bottom with movies. That week I had a 5 out of 5, and we did go to the theater for this one. We went to see Snake Eyes. And by far, it was the best G.I. Joe film that I've seen. And then they threw in Tokyo from Money Heist as the Baroness, and I was just like sold. And if you've ever watched, I highly encourage anybody that has HBO Max to watch Warrior. You'll see one of the main actors in Warrior in there playing a character, which I don't want to say who it is because it does turn into a G.I. Joe character. But he is fantastic as always, and so is the lead. I loved Snake Eyes, and I know some people shat on it, but it worked on me on so many levels as a martial arts movie and as an exciting action movie. And I loved the changes they made to the origin of Snake Eyes. Like I, it to me, it made more sense. And if you understand the relationship that Snake Eyes has with Storm Shadow, the changes they made on this, that was awesome. Just awesome. Really, really enjoyed that. Plus, if those that have followed me on Twitter have known that I've been on a G.I. Joe kick, so maybe it just hit me at the right time, you know? And I actually love that movie. And yes, Harley's going in and she's going out. She's my warrior princess. She has a Wonder Woman leash and it says warrior on it and it has the W. And I call her my warrior princess. I love my dog. She's good. She's a good girl. And then for that week, we only had 19 comics. This is really pathetic. I gotta get off my ass and read more. Then I got a podcast, and then I have vacations. I have to use my vacation or I'll lose it. I have TV that competes with it because I have to exercise, and I watch a lot of TV during my exercising. We had 19 comics, 6 Marvel, 1 Kickstarter, 1 Image, 1 IDW, 1 Fantagraphics. 3 Dynamite, 3 DC, 1 Dark Horse, 1 Archie, and 1 Ablaze. We'll start with the 3 out of 5, which is a Dark Horse comic from Colin Bunn. Didn't know what to expect with this. I don't know if it's going to get better for me. It probably will because it was a 3 out of 5. It can only go up, really. I don't think it'll ever go down. It was just okay for me. But, it's about a homeless man that searches for his son and dreams about a patriot looking for a boy. So he has like, it looks like a contemporary story, but on the flip side, it looks like something from the past. So I don't know what the link is yet. Had a very interesting cover. I'm sure it'll get fleshed out as I read on. We'll jump into the 4 out of 5s. There were a lot of 4 out of 5s. We got Mighty Crusaders, The Shield from Rob Liefeld. Joe Higgins, the son of the original Shield, is running from an organization trying to get his armor. The Mighty Crusaders are viewing and what's happening and need to take down Joe Higgins if the multiverse is going to survive. I really enjoy Rob Liefeld. I'm unapologetic for loving his art. I love his enthusiasm. I don't always like how he acts online, but since his podcast, man, he seems like a new guy. Like maybe he's just able to be vocal about the way he's always been, and then when he tweets, it just was something different. I don't know. I'm a fan, and I would like to have every work, one of his works, and I strive to. Most of his Image stuff I already have. Most of his Marvel stuff I already have. His Awesome stuff I all have. His Maximum Press stuff I have. There's a lot of covers I need to fill. Sometimes I find there's some surprising issues that he done that I don't even know about, but I try to pick them up. And I don't care that he can't draw feet. I don't like feet anyway. I think they're an ugly part of the body. There's some really ugly feet out there. And I gave it a 4 out of 5. Then we got into Star Wars Adventures from IDW. Temarian invites Senator Amidala and Anakin to one of his shindigs. Little did they know he owes money, and several gangsters break up the party and gas Anakin. Amidala is on the loose, but someone or something confronts her at the end. Not sure if this is the first appearance or not of Captain Ashir Faris, known as Fearless. But it could get very interesting character for the Empire going forward. He is being groomed by the Admiral Tarkin, and he is left in charge of a planet. We then have Devil Bitch. This is a Kickstarter. I really like this comic. I wish there was more Devil Bitch. This comic was by Everett Harstow with art by Dan Wilder. And it comes from the heart of Hearts, the House of Hartso Publishing. Was a Kickstarter. Has a beautiful cover on it. If you haven't heard of Everett Hartso, you might be familiar with his property in the 90s called Razar. It was a female bad girl that was pretty popular. Some of the early issues are really expensive and hard to get. I have quite a few of Razar, but I have quite a few I still need to get because it went across multiple publishers and stuff. But this was a couple goes to a woman named Lilith Aligorand, who is an occultist who is having sex with the devil. They want her to remove her the ghostly possessions that they've been having. It looks like she does, but does not get their souls back, and it's going to be continued, and I hope it is. But it's just like a regular, normal-looking couple that goes for help, and she tries to help, but she's not successful. Dynamite Lives 2. This is a Dynamite series with the zombies. And Red Sonja and Project Superpowers—they've been converted to zombies and are taking over all kinds of different places. The U.S. military teams up with Captain Future and Jennifer Blood. Captain Future's kind of like a Project Superpowers open domain character, and it looks like she does, but does not get their souls back and is going to be continued. What am I doing? I'm reading the wrong line. The U.S. military teams up with Captain Future and Jennifer Blood, and now has Smiley. If you don't know who Smiley is, Dynamite has the rights to a lot of the Chaos Comics characters, minus Lady Death, because that's still owned by Cemetery Comics. But it was the only property that didn't get put away in that bankruptcy by Polito. But Smiley is the little smiley icon that's on Evil Ernie, and he wants revenge on Sonya for rejecting him. I've been really enjoying that. The next one's Dynamite as well. Dynamite gets a lot of shit, but man, I sure enjoy Dynamite, and I know that Vince B from 11 O'Clock Comics does too. He's the only one that I know that gives them shout outs a lot in a positive light. There's just something magical and pulpy and different that I can't get anywhere else in Dynamite. The closest I can get to it is American Mythology Press. But I really enjoy Dynamite. Red Sonja Black and White number one had like three stories. It's an anthology. It's a beautiful book. It's black and white and red, which goes good with Red Sonja being that she has red hair and there's lots of blood because of swords and stuff. A jester keeps prisoners in a castle through the power of suggestion. Red Sonja releases them, but do they really want to be released? That's the twist. The next one is a story about Red Sonja protecting two lovers as she gets back some of her treasure from thieves. A prince hires Red Sonja to get a crystal and fights with an invisible ape. She manages to get the crystal and find out the prince was just using her to die to get the crystal, so she beheads him. Betty Page, The Curse of the Banshee. Betty and Lysa go to Ireland to find out if murders are supernatural or they're just regular standard murders. Very interesting Scooby-Doo mystery with great interiors by Jethro Morales. Others die, and then later their bodies turn up missing at the morgue. Do the bodies become zombies? Don't know yet. Betty witnesses the actual banshee, so there might be a supernatural aspect, or it might be a Scooby-Doo special effect. We don't know yet. The way it ended, it sure makes it look like it's really happening. I'm drinking a Propel grape, if you're wondering. We have Gen 13 number 0 from Image Comics. Caitlin goes to visit a friend in Portland only to find that Io made a deal with her friend's boyfriend to try to capture her. She gets away. Sarah and Bobby get to spend time at her reservation where her family is before Sarah has to say goodbye because she's on the run. Grunge and Roxy head to Vegas and are looking for the stepmom when they get in trouble for gambling with their powers. Lynch is working on getting them a new headquarters, and they are all reunited. Elvira's House of Mystery, number 3. A jealous cowboy kills the fiancée of the woman he wants. Later, she kills both father-in-laws, and then the mysterious circumstance, the train in which he is trying to get away, stops at the gallows where he can be hanged. The story of an elevator taking sinners to various floors in hell to be tortured. What I really liked about this Elvira's House of Mystery is it was very Western themed. The first two stories, and then the last one obviously wasn't because it dealt with an elevator and people on the elevator. And I've read something very similar to that elevator thing before. It seemed very familiar, but very different at the same time. I've read like elevator hell stories in horror magazines or something. And then there's that movie Devil. I think Devil takes place. It's a M. Night Shyamalan movie with an elevator. Weird Western Tales 19 and 20. Jonah on the hunt for a prisoner that broke out of jail and is posing. Poisoning the water holes to keep people off his scent. Excuse me, he's doing that because he doesn't want them following him, so he figures if they go to the water holes to drink and the horses drink, then he'll be able to get away. And he gets sweet justice. He gets it eventually because he ends up having to drink his own water. An El Diablo story. Where he has to stop some train robbers who stole a train for gold. And a story about how the white man was using the Indians to fight each other, which would lead to the government calling out the cavalry to chase them away. The second story was about an aging gunfighter who did not want to lose, so he turned his back on the draw just to make people think he was the young kid shot him in the back. And played dirty. He knew he was going to lose, so he decided to lose in a way that maybe he wouldn't be looked bad upon if he was shot in the back. Very cool story. Sorry. I apologize. I'm losing my voice from talking. But I told you it's all the crap that Harley brings in gets my sinuses going. G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero, number 113 to 118. The recon team is under fire, and Cobra uses a child to bring them out and leads to the death of Sneak Peek. Dusty promised the family he would bring back Sneak Peek if anything happened, to risk his life to do so. Roadblock and the others come to the rescue. The Emir is offering money to Cobra Commander not to destroy the oil wells. The Emir pays Cobra Commander to leave Benzene, but the Emir tried to kill Cobra Commander before losing this battle. Metalhead, which is a Cobra, takes on Rock and Roll and the tank crews and tries to lead them into a trap. Eventually, the Joes trap Metalhead when it is announced Cobra is leaving Benzene, and they break off the fighting. G.I. Joe leaves, but after Sky Striker is shot down, Ace and Dogfight. Hawk sends a stealth mission to Benzene with Dogfight and an unnamed Captain Jeffries. Fly the stealth to take pictures. Cobra Commander tries to send all the Cobras after them, but they manage to have a successful mission. Destro and Baroness are attacked by Cobra Commander. It appears that Chuckles and Ace have things under control, but Commander blows Ace out of the sky. Zartan, Billy, and Destro work to keep tricking the people tracking them. Cobra Commander has begun a process to mind wipe Baroness. God, these were so good. I'm remembering all this. Destro, with the help of Rashid and Ninja Force, Storm Shadow, Snake Eyes, Nunchuck, TJ Bang, and Dojo, hacked the computers to that with the help of Rashid, who hacked the computers owned by Night Creepers and started taking away money from Cobra Commander's bank accounts. That was so great. If he did not call off the bounty and return Baroness, little do they know that Baroness has been mind wiped by Dr. Venom. Brainwave. I've since read on, and this is a really good. These comics in the 100s, man, they just have me really hooked in G.I. Joe. I hadn't read them before. The Cimarron, the Cimmerian, the Man-Eaters of Zamboula, number one. This is from Ablaze Comics. We're in the 5 out of 5s. This just kicked me in the balls, like, as being, no, I guess that's not a good term. This knocked me on my ass because I liked it so much. And I think it's just like getting the right book at the right time, at the right moment when you're just craving something, and it just like gives you everything that you've ever wanted. But Conan is told about missing strangers in a town run by Arim Bakish. He does not heed to the warnings, but books a room with him. He is attacked by a cannibal and kills it, and finds that Aram is in a deal with these cannibals. Conan goes to the street to kill more and runs into a beautiful naked woman who screams for his help. He helps and fights off her possessed lover to help him because he was given a drug. She wants Conan to kill the evil priest in the town that caused this. So they make a deal, and he's like, well, after all this is said and done, I get to bang you, and that's going to be okay, right? And she says yes. And it turns out that doesn't happen, but because I've already read number two, but it was a really good story. Beautifully drawn. Holy crap, is that girl woman beautiful. And Conan and all his muscles, they're just, he looks fantastic. We got Red Room number two. A very hard to deal with this one, as a young man is rescued from flooding only to have his face worked on by a doctor that's being blackmailed by these people that torture people. And he's being tortured by Poker Face. I really feel bad for the boy's dog. That's the what hit me hard because I usually deal with this person's dying, this person's dying, no big deal, but you hurt a dog and all bets are off. But what Red Room is, it's from Fantagraphics. I absolutely love every issue. This is a fantastic series. It showed in the first one how they would get like these people to be tortured, and the first one they bred them. Well, there's another organization that wants to get people to look more like not inbred, but to look more like humans, that like us. So they go to disaster areas, well, like a tornado hits or a huge flood or something like that, and they rescue them, and then have this doctor manipulate their face, and then they wait till they're ready, and then they kill them. So when they're on, getting Bitcoin and stuff from these murders that are on the dark web, they get a lot because they're like, well, those other freaks that look, get killed, they don't draw as much money because they look like they don't look human. Whereas these people look like everyday people, and they might not ever get associated with being a missing person because they get that plastic surgery. Really good series. I love Red Room. We then get to the week of 7/26 through 8/1. The shows that I watched that week, well, two movies. I watched MFKZ, which is Motherfuckers. It's an animated show. And I read the comic from Ablaze, and I thought it was very weird. And I was like, man, if this is adapted, I want to watch it. I can't remember where I watched it. I think it's on Netflix. But I really enjoyed it. I gave it a 4 out of 5. And then right above that, I gave it to M. Night Shyamalan's latest called Old. It's a. I don't want to give away the big shocking ending, but I will say it's about several people that sort of go on to this vacation paradise, and they get drawn out to this beachfront where they're going to spend the day, but they can't leave that beachfront. And on that beachfront, they get old. They start aging. Their kids start aging. It's pretty crazy. That's why it's called Old. We then get into the comics. There were a total of 19. Second Sight had one, Scout had two, Marvel had one, Image had one, DC had 13, Ablaze had one. We'll get start with the 4 out of 5s. There were only 4 out of 5s and 5 out of 5s. The one at the bottom was 4 out of 5 is Way of X from Marvel Comics. Nightcrawler struggles with his faith, with the resurrection process, and Professor X and Nemesis lead him to believe he needs to start a new religion. Interesting exchange with Magneto as a prank backfires on Nightcrawler and they discover a museum of anti-mutant artifacts, and there is an old statue of Magneto. We then get into a book from Storm King, which is a Storm Kids Hyperbreed number 1 and 2. I don't think I gave myself credit for that. I didn't. Stand by. Storm King. This is the John Carpenter comic publishing company, and we had two. So that takes me to 21 comics instead of 19. I almost gypped myself. So this is the John Carpenter products. This was a 5-issue series. It was written by Louise Simonson. And I don't remember who did the art, but it was fantastic. It was a space-bound venture. And some hyperbreed smugglers are working for a corporation are chased, and the ship is not functional when they are attacked by pirates. I really enjoyed this one. It felt like an Omega Man. It felt like a heist thing. Really liked it, and Wheezy did a fantastic job bringing that to life. The artist did a great job. Motherfuckers, number 1 from Ablaze. This is what led me to watch a whole movie, because I found this one very interesting. Two friends try to survive in the hood in a complete and utter hellhole. I don't know how to spell hole. I need to fix it. Now their apartment is destroyed. What can happen next? The next book we have is Blood, Skulls, and Chrome. This is from Second Sight Publishing. They're a fairly new publishing. This by far is the best thing that I've read from this publisher. Yes, I've only read like two, three titles, but this one's really stands out as being something really good from it that could like fit into Aftershock or Image or publications like that. It was really good, really interesting. It's a motorcycle gang comic, which we were just talking about, like 50s gangs, and how come there's no comics like that? Maybe I should make one. But this is a motorcycle gang comic in the heroin business, lose their connections when two of them are kill one of the members of a cartel. Really cool. Like if you like Sons of Anarchy, you should probably pick up Blood, Skulls, and Chrome. We then get to Black Friday, number 2 and 3. Javier and CC chased by these monsters. After all is said and done, a gold ring Javier stole off of Alan, the manager, is what keeps him alive. No one left by Javier, but Javier, and he takes it out on the corporation that did this. But what this is a Black Friday where, they're working, and then there's mysterious things that happen on this Black Friday. And it turns out there's like these dead beings that come out every year because the corporation did some shenanigans, and they come out and they just slaughter the employees. And there's this artifact that keeps these zombie-like creatures from destroying them, and the manager has it. So the main character wrestles it from that character, and then the zombies kill the manager. But he had like a girl there, and she had lost her life, and his friends lost his life, and he was the only one to get away. And he takes it out on the corporation. It was really good. It was a 3-issue series from Black Caravan Scout. Me and Bill Bomer really liked it. Very windy day. Harley wants to go out because there's a lot of sunshine, though. We have Gen 13 number 1. Ivana recruit the Gen 13 kids to start testing on them to try to activate their powers, because some of them haven't manifested their powers. The last one we talked about was Gen 0. It actually occurred after this. So Gen 0 didn't come out first, but Gen number 1 did. But Gen 0, I think in the hardcover collection that Jim Lee put out, does appear first, even though its publishing order was out of sequence. Lynch does not want her to do this. That's why Lynch sort of separates himself later on from Gen 13. But Ivana is beautiful, man. She's drawn really sexy. Static Number 1, Volume 2. A peaceful protest and the Big Bang that gave Virgil his powers. Only his family and friends know about it when a Meta shows up at Virgil's house and burns it to the ground. It turns out he doesn't burn his house to the ground. He looks like they burn it to the ground, but in the next issue you see what happens. They make it look like he's burning it to ground in issue 1. Detective Comics, Murka Tamako, I think is doing this. I'm really enjoying this. This is a really good Batman comics. Detective Comics 1034 to 1039. Bruce Wayne moves into a neighborhood after losing his fortune. Some friends in that community start getting killed, among them Sarah Worth. Worth is one of the richest guys in Gotham and corrupt man. He's a very corrupt man and blames Batman Bruce Wayne for the death. And starts blowing up and destroying Gotham, seeking justice. Huntress helps Batman, but he gets bit by Vile, who's infected and killing members of Gotham. Vile's in cahoots with Worth. A huntress and a reporter are being treated in a hospital for infection, and Batman states he has to turn himself in to the police. We then get the 5 out of 5, which is Rorschach, 8 and 10. The detective interviews three people that have been out to the Meyerson ranch as he tries to figure out why him and the kid tried to assassinate Redford's competition. It seems more and more like Redford was pulling the strings all along. At the last issue of Detective, the detective that's part of this Rorschach got a fingerprint of one of the aides of Redford. It's a really good mystery. We then get to the week beginning August 2nd through August 8th. This was my birthday week, so I didn't read a lot. I watched a lot of movies. I saw The Suicide Squad on HBO Max. I wanted to go to the theater. It just didn't work out. I gave it a 5 out of 5. Well, let's start at the bottom. There was 4 out of 5s. I gave Sweet Tooth from Netflix a 4 out of 5. I gave What If a 4 out of 5 based on story. The animation drove me nuts. It's like if they took pictures of the actors in the MCU and then drew over those images. That's just a me thing. That's something I don't like. Some people might like it that they look like that. I just didn't work for me personally. But having said that, I gave it a 4 out of 5. The stories were compelling. My favorite one being the Doctor Strange. What if Doctor Strange didn't lose his hands inside of the accident, but he did lose the love of his life? That changed a lot of things in a very dark way. We then get to the 5 out of 5s. We have Star Wars Clone Wars. I think this was season 5 or 6. I've been marshaling from season 4 on because that's where I left off. I got to the final season, which is, I think, season 7, and then I needed to take a break. I just needed to mix it up a little bit, but that's a 5 out of 5. We then get into The Tomorrow War. I really enjoyed that Amazon Prime movie. It's like a sci-fi thing starring the guy who plays Star-Lord, Chris Pratt. Or not Pratt, Platt. What is his name? I can't remember. But he's Star-Lord. And it has a really good time riff. It seemed really original to me, but maybe it's just because I haven't watched anything like it. But I really like the take on it. We then saw The Suicide Squad, which was one of my favorite movies of the year. It's very odd because I don't normally like rewatch a lot of movies unless like I love it a lot. And I've already seen The Suicide Squad 4 times. It's like when I saw The Joker, when The Joker came out, I saw him just like roughly when it came out like 4 times straight. Since then, I've seen it about, I would say about 20 times. And it'll probably grow where I watch The Suicide Squad a lot more because I watched the first Suicide Squad. I love that one as well. And they work for me on so many levels. The comic books, there were a total of 10, 10 total comics, not a lot. There were 3 Storm King. We'll continue from what we just talked about. Marvel, there was one. 1 Kickstarter, 4 DC, and 1 Caliber. So let's start with the 4 out of 5s. We have X-Force number 19 from Marvel Comics. This is the latest volume of X-Force. Kid Omega is still dealing with his demons of him being captured by the enemy and then using his powers. They sort of are using his powers because they did capture him. And he kind of can feel it. Shazam number 1, this is the latest volume. As part of the Titans Academy, Billy is losing control of his powers. He finds out from Dr. Fate that the Rock of Eternity has been ported to hell, and he is trying to get there to find out why. Freddy can't change either, so his health is suffering from it. And Billy's kind of ignoring the phone calls from his brother. Adopted brother, but we then get into Storm Kid's Hyperbreed 3 and 5. The characters survive the enemy who is trying to take over the Earth by fooling the corporation. Thanks to their small elephant hybrid that wasn't really part of the team, he sort of gets inherited the team after he sacrifices himself. They are able to get the goods and continue their adventures with the death of Five Eyes. So Five Eyes is the main villain of this book. He looks like a giant hand. Seeing Red is from Evolution Comics, and it's a Kickstarter. It's a Red Sonja-like character, seeks revenge on those who destroyed her world. She is captured and must battle with the man who raised her. Sounds very similar. Really well done, Kickstarter. If you're a Red Sonja fan, you will like this book. We got 5 out of 5's World War One. This is from Caliber. This is trench warfare through the eyes of a French soldier. It was really interesting. I don't know if it was like published in a different format and before Caliber reprinted it, or if this is like original Caliber material. It's hard to tell based on what Caliber seems to be in previews now. It's usually a lot of reprints of old material that Caliber published, but I couldn't track this one down to know. We have Commandy from DC Comics, number 1 through 3. This is the Jack Kirby Commandy, Volume 1. Commandy ventures out of Commandy and finds some other humans. They are terrified of him. He goes back to his uncle, who was killed by hybrid wolves. Now, with his uncle dead, he saves the King Tiger, who then take him and make him a slave. Dr. Canis convinces the king to let him use Commandy to help him, and he is introduced to Ben Boxer. Ben and Commandy are captured by rats, but manage to escape with some of Ben's friends, who also have their powers in a hot. What did I mean by that? Who also have the powers in a hot air balloon? Oh, Ben's friends who also have powers, and they're in a hot air balloon. They escape in a hot air balloon. Commandy goes off his own and is captured by gorilla men. There he fights King Ape that wants him to, as a slave, like David and Goliath. He knocks him out. There is a magical creatures. The others. There is a magical creature the others discover, and he ends up fighting the ape to the death. So that's Commandy 1 through 3, 5 out of 5. The 5 out of 5s were World War One and Commandy. I think we got one more week, and then we'll wrap this one up. No movies and TV. We had a total of 17 comics, 7 Zenoscope, 2 Vault, 1 Scout, 2 Kickstarter, 1 Image, 1 Dynamite, 3 DC. We'll start at the bottom. We got Grim Fairy Tales Swimsuit Special. This is mostly just a bunch of pinups, and in the 90s, I bought a lot of swimsuit specials. This was one for 2021, and I enjoyed it. And it also had a Gretel story as she saves 2 kids from a witch at the beach. The next 3 out of 5 is Oz Annual Patchwork Girl. A tornado breaks Patchwork Girl out of prison, and she heads towards Earth to terrorize and take over. Gives her tragic backstory. It's up to Dorothy and her team to try and stop her as she does. As she dies. I don't know what I read there, but I know it wasn't good for Patchwork Girl. We then get into The Good, the Bad, and the Prehistoric. It's a dinosaur. This is a Kickstarter. It's a dinosaur cowboy story where a kid is told by a caveman to protect a rare egg from the 3 criminals that will be chasing him. We then get Superman slash the Authority. Superman tries to recruit Manchester Black to try and save the world. Seems like he is building his own version of the Authority. We have Blue and the Gold, number 1. Booster and Beetle try to rescue the Justice League from an alien race, and after all is said and done, they only want Blue Beetle to join, not Booster. Beetle refused because he can't be without Booster. So he takes a sacrifice and doesn't get what he is asked to do, join the Justice League. A Kickstarter called Passion Fruit Number One. A down on his luck guy meets a girl at a party and he gets her a watermelon. They hit it off, and you're like, okay, we'll see what happens with number two. Well, this was a one shot. That's just how it was. A slice of life comic about a date that I guess played in his favor, and he picked up a girl because he had a watermelon. Haha, number six. This was normally a 5 out of 5, but I dropped this particular finale to a 4 out of 5. A down on his luck clown can't catch a break as he loses his family and house. He gets into a car accident and sees the other clowns throughout the series. He then takes a gun and blows his brains out on the roof of his house with kids watching. Really dark ending. The whole series has been pretty dark and emotional. There are some moments that are interesting, but it's a really dark, suspenseful history horror book. We have Barbarella Volume 2, Number 1 from Dynamite. Barbarella goes to help some freedom fighters. This leads her ship being destroyed. I just saw a fly. It freaked me out. And replaced with AI ship with an AI angel to assist her. She goes to Camelot where nobody acknowledges that she's there, and she almost gets killed. We have Man Goat and the Bunny Man, number 1 through 3. Man Goat and the Bunny Man have to stop a cult from resurrecting Man Goat's demon father. They resurrect him, but are able to stop him. Possessive number 1, Xenoscope. A down on his luck drunk father buys a haunted house and tries to reignite his failed marriage. His wife wants none of that. We have the 5 out of 5s we have from Vault Comics, Barbaric number 1 and 2. I didn't separate these, but I would say number 1 is definitely a 5 out of 5. Number 2 was more like a 4 out of 5, but I grouped them together. A barbarian is forced to do good with his battle axe after a bunch of witches curse him, and the battle axe can talk to him. But only he can see that until he runs into this witch. He is now teamed up with a witch who can pull artifacts out of her tattoos. Rapid World. This is a Scout comic. A rabies-like virus is taking over the world and infecting everyone. A scientist is pulled in to try and help the emergency situations. Meanwhile, he was his best friends to go over. Well, I gotta reread this. I am just really screwing this up. Rapid Worlds. A rabies-like virus is taking the world over the world and infecting everyone. A scientist is pulled in to try to help the emergency situation. Meanwhile, he has his best friend go out to the middle of the lake to protect themselves. So they go out in a boat. To protect themselves where the this infection can't get them, or these zombie-like rabid humans can't attack them if they're in the middle of the lake. We have a 5 out of 5, the last one, Tom Taylor's Son of Kal-El. This one surprised me, and it came in high. It shows John's birth as the Justice League tries to fend off an alien invasion without Superman. Later shows how John is trying to live up to his father's legacy and tries and confronts Damian about what he should do. So the 5 out of 5s for that week, for those 4 weeks, were Barbaric number 1 and 2 from Vault Comics, Scout Comics, Rabid World number 1, Superman, Son of Kal-El number 1, Commandy DC Comics, the original one. 1 through 3, World War I, from Caliber, Rorschach 8 through 10, and the Cimmerian, the Man-Eaters of Zamboula, also Red Room number 2. I want to thank you for listening. You can reach me at mike@comicbooknoise.com. You can tweet me at Mike Myers Brunch. I want to thank you for listening. And thank you for the questions, Nick and Kirk. I really appreciate them. And you can find this at geekbrunchpodcast.com. You can go to Facebook and click on the Geek Brunch Podcast. Click the like button and follow all the episode threads there. I want to thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you very soon. Bye. Gotta save the file and then hit the stop button.